A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 216. It's the start of 2024. Happy New Year, Guy.
Happy New Year, Rick.
Happy New Year to listeners, watchers. It feels like this is the final day you can say Happy New Year to anybody for the rest of the year. I think the 16th of Jan is kind of the cutoff point.
But we have been somewhat slacking, Rick, that the last podcast went live, I think a little before, it was the 21st of the 12th. So
We have not been slacking.
I'm going to be the angry guy now. Where have you been, Rick? Why has there been no podcast?
I've been chilling out on a beach.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Well, it's always challenging around Christmas with obviously Christmas holidays, etc. And then I went out on a nice, lovely family holiday to Dubai where I didn't think one single thing about work.
Wow.
However, that was very difficult because it felt like the golf world erupted every other day. I'd pick up my phone, look on Instagram, and it'd be like,
Guy broke 90.
Tiger leaves Nike.
Yes.
Such a body leaves clothing brand. Such a body is rumored to go to live. Such a body is doing this. I'm like, for God's sake, I can't wait to get back to Manchester. Cold, freezing, wet Manchester. Because I need to sit down with Guy and we need to cut loose on what the hell is happening in golf right now.
There's pros and there's cons. Some of the cons are we're a little bit late to the party on some of these topics, e.g. Tiger leaving Nike.
Imagine someone listening to this going, what?
The pros, though, are we're going to have an absolute jam-packed podcast. We've got to talk about Tiger leaving Nike, as you just said. That's a huge story. What does that mean for golf? What does it mean for Tiger Woods? Who knows? Your friend and mine, Tommy Fleetwood, won this weekend at the Dubai Invitational.
So good.
Inaugural winner. Happy got that word right. Can you say it?
Inaugural.
No, that's wrong.
Inaugural.
Really?
First.
Yes, that's the word. Inaugural. There you go. That's the kind of word that I said then twice, but equally I could say that wrong forever. It's quite a weird word to say.
It's a stupid word.
It is, really. He won the first ever Dubai Invitational. There's been new drivers coming out thick, fast,
yes.
And everywhere.
That's another thing that, obviously, that was the start of every year. It's driver release season.
Well, let's start there then. Why it's the start of the year. And we'll go into the rest of the stuff as this podcast flows. But there's new drivers from every brand you can think of, really. All the big dogs have got a driver out. You've got the new Cobra. You've got the new Callaway. You've got the new TaylorMade. And you've got the new Ping, which our video goes live today, I believe.
Today. Later on this afternoon. Yeah, I mean, the first thing to unpack is why the hell do brands bring out brand new drivers at the very start of the year? I don't like it.
Really?
I don't like
it
one bit.
Be?
Give us a bit of time, a bit of breathe. I mean, from reviewers, obviously, I was fairly lucky. I had a few trips that I took the drivers away and so I could really test them thoroughly. But it's always a real challenge for certainly our wonderful editing team to try and put together the best possible video to go out on like the 3rd of Jan. It's like, for God's sake. Anyway, apart from that logistical issue, I feel like just the start of the season would be a bit better.
Yeah,
I feel like a March, April time would suit a lot more golfers.
What you've got to think about here, though, is, from our point of view, start of January is a pain, right? The brands will have put so much effort into looking at when is the absolute best possible time for them to launch. If you think about it now, you've got things like the Dubai Invitational, you've got Tommy Fleetwood, and you've got Rory with the new TaylorMade QI10. So people start to see it. Oh, that looks good. They watch your review. Oh, Rick said it's good or he said it's bad or whatever. Then another maybe 2-3 weeks, it's in the shop. You can get a demo. You can get fitted. A couple more weeks later, it's then out. You're starting to want it, starting to build that want. Then come April, the season starts. That's when you're like, right, I've got to buy it now. Whereas if it actually launched in April, I think you need a little bit of time to let it marinate.
Imagine like Rory stepping up to the Masters with a brand new driver in the back.
Well,
that you've not seen him use.
But did the
before?
Driver cost him a tournament this weekend as well? Well, that's
the
topic.
It did. We'll come on to that definitely later in the video. But yeah, Callaway, AI Smoke.
Nice.
Very, very solid driver. I think it looks one of the best this year. Performance was very, very solid. Mm-hmm. More testing to be done. For future videos, we might release on the Hit channel, or we will be releasing on the Hit channel. Slightly bizarre name, but kind of works.
Yeah.
The AI Smoke, and it's still in the Paradigm family. Three driver heads. Very, very, very solid lineup. Then the big boy came out, the TaylorMade driver. I feel like TaylorMade have still got the biggest pulling power when it comes to drivers releases. Yeah,
that's fair.
Like, that's where we see it in viewing figures. It's where the most attention typically is on TaylorMade drivers.
They've got certainly arguably the best marketing department, and they've got the best athletes. So if you've got Rory McIlroy, arguably the best driver of golf ball in the world, Tiger Woods, the most famous golfer arguably to ever have lived, using your products, not only on the TV, but you can then utilise them in your adverts and commercials and content, which they now do. It's a recipe for success.
And they brought out this year QI10.
Yep.
Worst naming driver I think TaylorMade have ever brought out.
Yeah, not the sexiest.
To be fair though, they get slagged off for like bringing out jet speed and aero speed and all these other things. Just QI10 just doesn't seem to land, but it's flowing off the tongue a little bit more easily now. Mm-hmm. And certainly when as you mentioned, as you start seeing it a bit more on in players' hands, and you start seeing it a little bit more with this big story of trying to get the most forgiving driver head possible with this moment of inertia of 10K. However, Ping reckon they've achieved said feat with their brand new G425 10K.
Full 30. Go again. It's a mouthful.
Ping G430 10K.
We didn't say the max. Go again.
With the brand new 2024 Ping G430 Max 10K driver.
Perfect.
Thanks. And then you've got the LS Tech.
Yes.
You've got the, no, you've not SF got that. Tech. You've not got those versions this year. But yeah, this is an add-on to the very successful G430 driver lineup, but it's the most ultimate forgiving driver ever made. Where TaylorMade are on the quest for 10K, Ping believe they've achieved it with this driver.
I've been using this Ping driver for a few months. We obviously went to Dubai in December, and I used the driver, and those videos are coming out soon. And for me, obviously your video's out today, your review's really in-depth review. For me personally, I think it is more forgiving than the G425 I was playing. How is that? Can I measure that? I don't know. Is it in my head and a placebo? Because I know it should be more forgiving, potentially. But it does feel good. The one thing I would say, and this is sometimes what annoys me with golf brands, it's up to brands how often they release new equipment. That's up to them. That's their prerogative. And nobody has to buy it. Again, we know that. Most products from year to year change such a small amount. However, what does annoy me, and it would annoy me very much if I was an actual paying customer, let's be honest, is that Ping last year brought out the G430 Max, LS Tech and SF Tech, which you've alluded to. They've now gone with a 10K Max, a more forgiving version. If I was a hardcore Ping fan and I knew last year, whatever date it was, that the G430 was coming out, and I booked into my local pro shop to get a fitting, said, look, I'm a Ping fanatic. I've always loved Ping. I grew up loving Lee Westwood, blah, blah, blah. I want the new driver.
And on that very quick one, and I know Ping don't release all the time.
Correct.
I know Ping only release every 2 years.
Correct. And I'm playing off 24. I don't hit the ball very well, and I want a forgiving driver. At the time, I would have got fitted, I'm sure, maybe for an SF Tech, but more than likely the Max driver. And I walk away with that, best part of £500, very happy with it. A few months later, it's not that they've replaced it for a G4 whatever. They've gone with another one in that same family, that is now more forgiving. And there's other brands who've done this before. Titus did it. They did it with the TS 2 and 3. They then brought out a TS 1 and a TS 4 later down the line.
We ended up making quite a controversial video about that, actually.
We did. And I think a lot of the time, this comes down to two things. It comes down to maybe materials, things that we don't think of as customers, but maybe they can't get certain components in time from factories or whatever. And the other reason, the big reason that Ping had done it, let's be honest, is that they know they released their driver when they did. Went down very well, great driver. But when Ping released their drivers, it's not around that review season, sorry, that other brand's release season. So they get all their sales for their driver. But then what can happen is, coming to 2024, for a lot of people who are interested in Kerr, the G430 can now look old because it's last year. So all you do then is, which they have done, you drop a new one into the conversation, the 10K Max. That then gets you more sales, looks good for, you know, for their brand. And it almost reignites the other part of the family from last year as well.
Do you think also, to some degree, why they've also priced it very expensive?
Yeah. I think it's £529 or something.
No, it's
like £599. Wow.
I think they've brought that out as well as almost like, well, surely this driver's got to be better because it's more expensive than the others.
Yeah, maybe. But it's a good driver. But I think all of these drivers, and again, we've said this before, we'll say it again, they've got a lot of sex appeal, let's be honest. You look at them, they're shiny, they're new. They suddenly make the old ones look old. You see the best players in the world using them. You watch the reviews. And before you know it, if you're into your golf, you want to buy one.
Don't forget, arguably my favourite driver releases this year.
The Cobra
Dark Speed.
Yeah.
Seriously. I'm semi in love with the driver lineup there. I think the Dark Speed this year, I think, without question, looks the best. And actually, performance-wise, was very, very, very strong. For the first time in a long time, Guy, and I mean this, I've got itchy feet with my driver.
Wow.
G4 25 Max that I've been using for, God, donkey's years now. Mm. All of 2 years I've been using it.
That's like dog years, though. For you having a driver, 2 years is actually seven.
14 in total. I've had the G4 25 Max in the bag for a while, but it is definitely due a change. You might have seen in a few videos that I released pre-Christmas, I kind of threw in the Adams driver.
That made me feel a bit sick.
There is another video of still the Adams driver in the bag.
What were you thinking?
I know. That's not even been released just yet, but that's gone. And then Cobra. I think that's the one I'm most intrigued, but I'm open to using any of those drivers this year. But my big mission is to increase speed, distance, and ball speed. Mm. I'm not bothered about forgiveness, Guy. I'll hit it and I'll find it.
You're not bothered about shooting lower scores. You've got a little bit of a flex on the occasional Instagram story.
I want to hit it further. I want to know that I've still got it inside me. I've still got that speed. And at the moment, it feels like I'm on a downward spiral to retirement.
Yeah, well,
I need to get speed back up.
According to Cobra, the Dark Speed is the driver that would help to do that. They've gone down this story of head shape and swing speed, but it's a funny one, Cobra, because I know Cobra make great products. I think most golfers would agree with me on that. But there's something about the brand, and I can't work out what it is and what they need to do. But if I had a friend who said to me, oh, Guy, I've gone and got a fitting for one of these new drivers. I wanted to buy one. Money's burning a hole in my pocket. And they'd gone for a fitting with everything. If they said they'd bought the Cobra, I would never look down my nose at it. I know it's a great driver, it's a decent price point. But I feel like I've got to ask why. Whereas if they got fitted and came away with the TaylorMade QI10 or even a Ping or obviously a Callaway, it's like, oh yeah, cool.
Though, they've all got stereotypes.
Potentially.
You've got a mate and he comes out with a brand new QI10, okay?
Yeah.
What's your first thought?
I think marketer's dream.
Yeah. I'm thinking he's now going to probably buy the matching irons. Mm-hmm. He's going to have the tour bag. He's going to go full TaylorMade.
Yeah.
Like the Callaway.
Yeah.
What do you think with Callaway?
Callaway has had a bit of a resurgence. For me, it was a bit of an old man's brand for a time. And it's kind of come back now as someone that wants a bit of ball speed. It's not my favourite brand.
I feel like it's a definitely more youthful brand.
It's getting that way. With the whole, yeah, it's trying that way.
And I would maybe say you're probably inspired by the players using it, not maybe so much the marketing. And kind of you want to still hang with the kids.
Yeah, for me, a Ping, then, for the Ping consumer, of which I am, with my driver. He's very much sensible.
You've chosen because of performance.
They've gone for the drive at the speed limit on the road. They're very kind of conscious and safe, I'd say.
Never park on double yellow lines.
No.
It's a driver
PXG
not for me.
Would.
It's not a driver for me.
No,
anymore,
it's not a driver for you at all. Whereas Cobra is a bit more like, maybe have a hat on backwards walking down the range. So I just don't quite, what is Cobra? That's where I struggle with a little bit. Yeah. Is it when Bryson's using the stuff, it's a bit quirky? Is it Ricky Fowler in orange pants? Is it, who is it?
But don't forget, us growing up, Cobra was the old man brand.
Absolutely it was.
Like
the
Cobra.
XZ driver. Do you
imagine if someone said in 10 years, Cobra would be seen as like the kind of edgy brand, a little bit more kind of reverent brand. Mm. You wouldn't believe it, would you?
Not at all. And I think that's, with all this said and done, what it leads us nicely into the topic of, you can have any of these drivers, you can watch the videos, you can watch the marketing promotions, you can watch your reviews, you can get all excited for them. And some of them might help your game, and the key word there is might. But at the end of the day, when you're coming down the 18th hole and you might be playing in your local monthly medal or playing a match play against your friend, really, whether your driver is the current driver, 2 years old or 5 years old, doesn't matter. It's about putting a good swing on it. And we saw that happen to Rory. Obviously, Rory is one of the best drivers of the golf ball on the planet ever, full stop. On the 18th hole at Dubai Creek, he was winning and he pulled it left into the water. Tommy Fleetwood birdied it, and then Tommy came off victorious. In that moment in time, that new driver was irrelevant, wasn't it?
Could have been using a Dunlop.
Correct.
It was that final day, and I think we were speaking about it early this morning. I was back home, so Dubai time's 4 hours ahead of the UK. For that final round, it's at such a great time to watch as a consumer. Sunday morning, kids were kind of pottering around, playing. I had the golf on. I was genuinely really, really rooting for Tommy. Not that I've got anything against Rory, but obviously spent some time. We spent quite a bit of time with Tommy, to be fair. And it was just, I really, really wanted him to win. I feel like he needs wins to boost his confidence, to help him kind of just crush 2024. Mm-hmm. I think he's 15th best player in the world at the moment. He could easily be top five. Yeah. Like, the amount of times he puts himself into contention. So to be able to get on across the line was great. Albeit, he would probably see himself as being a bit fortunate, with Rory obviously putting it in the water on the last. But what a phenomenal last round of golf. And what an incredible back nine. Lots happened in that back nine.
You're right with Tommy, but I'd also counter that to a degree than saying that he was fortunate. You don't expect Rory McIlroy to hit a shot like that on 18 with his driver. But then Tommy sunk a monster to take the victory. So it was kind of like, it got some, not handed to him, but it was there and he took it.
Yeah, exactly.
That showed balls, if I'm being honest. But it was funny, I tweeted about it. I know you did as well. I was made up for Tommy. He genuinely is, by the way, one of the nicest guys I've ever met in golf. He's such a lovely guy. He's got some big videos coming with him very, very soon. But I tweeted about it and somebody...
In fact, next week's episode is Tommy Fleetwood episode.
We'll come on to that. We'll come on to the main video in a second. But on that, I saw, you know, I've not been the biggest Liv fan, and neither of you, and without bashing Liv once more, but somebody tweeted me back saying felt like it meant so much more than Liv or whatever, right? And I didn't comment back, but I kind of agreed at the time. I thought, yeah, you know, it did. It was better for me to watch. I was so much more engrossed in that event than any of the Liv events. But I was thinking this morning, why? Because it's a new tournament, it's a made-up tournament, as all tournaments are. Is it because I played the golf course, luckily? Maybe. But the real reason was that I was glued to that is because you've got Tommy Fleetwood, one of the world's best players and a guy that I kind of somewhat know, and Rory McIlroy, one of the best players ever to have lived, head-to-head. If you actually look at the rest of the leaderboard, this is no criticism whatsoever on the guys on the leaderboard, I must add. But you've got Thurston Lawrence, who came second. You've got Jordan Smith, English guy, was fourth. Molinari, Xander Lombard, Torbjørn Olsen, some great guys. If those guys were the top few, which they were, but you take away Rory and you take away Tommy, would I have been watching?
Yeah, it was about Tommy and correct. Rory. Even if, to me, it was the fact it was Tommy and Rory. Because even if it was Rory versus Xander Lombard, for argument's sake, I wouldn't have been glued to it.
But now then, and again, going back to Liv just for one sec, if we have this same situation where it's Brooks and John Rahm in the last group with a few holes to play, will I watch? I probably will. So is it showing us that the actual tour and the format is actually somewhat secondary? It is about having those names competing.
You know what's quite interesting, what you mentioned just at the start of that then about this The Dubai Invitational is a made-up event.
Yeah.
First time it's ever been done at Dubai Creek. And you think, well, all live events are made up. But it feels like because there's track record, like the Dubai Desert Classic, which is this week, that was made up 20-odd years ago. But that's a real iconic event now on the European Tour.
Yeah.
Because of that history and that legacy and that track record, there's nothing wrong, nothing saying that the Dubai Invitational won't be of the same stature in 20 years down the line, because there's history there. Liv's still not had that time to be able to do any of that. Mm. Like, whoever wins Liv UK next year, there's still only been two winners of that event, and there's been no history yet of 20 years, 30 years. And to some degree, I actually think a lot of the conversations that are happening now with PJ Tour, European Tour and Liv about this kind of, it definitely seems to be going more into this kind of direction.
Rory's changed his tune a little bit, hasn't he?
He's changed his tune a full 180 degrees. I'm not being funny. He really has. As it's starting to look like there's going to be now a future where all of these tours exist or even come together, I actually think it's to some degree, because I almost feel like I still don't see a future for Liv in that. In its current setup right now. So, something's going to change. Something's going to happen. If there's going to be conversations around the table, if they're going to blend together, something's going to change. And I almost then still, it almost devalues the tournament still now even more. Like, let's say this year, I mean, Liv this year are going playing at JCB, one of our favourite golf courses, literally filmed loads of videos there. I know the guy's great there. Whoever wins, John Rahm goes and wins JCB Liv, okay? It's going to happen. How many Liv events at JCB or in the UK are going to exist past this point?
Mm.
I still don't think there's enough of a legacy just yet.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's a bit like, again, a stupid analogy. The Olympics has been going for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? And when you win a gold medal in the Olympics, it's like, you are a gold medalist. And that is track record for all those years, right?
Yeah.
When golf first came into the Olympics again recently, when Justin Rose won, that was the first ever event of golf back in the Olympics in the modern era. Mm-hmm. But because he won a gold medal, just like all the old gold medals that have happened hundreds of years ago, straight away, validity. It's like, yeah, you are now a gold medalist. Done. I don't know. I feel with this, and I'm pleased there is conversations happening. I'm pleased there's going to be a getting together, a more serious one, because obviously they were the rumours back in June when the PIF joined forces with, or had a alliance with the PGA Tour. Nothing's really happened since that. There's now been an extension. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's where I feel like what we're talking about right now, PGA Tour, European Tour, Liv, I almost don't see a future where any of that exists.
Maybe. It was an answer I don't think anyone knows. But you're right. But one thing that's strange for me is, I've been on this podcast many a time saying that just what you've said, that I don't like Liv because there's no heritage, there's no meaning behind the events. And to a degree, I do still stand by that. And what you've voiced then makes sense to me. However, again, if I choose this weekend just gone as the example, I didn't watch that really thinking whoever wins this, you're going to add one more DP World title to the name, or they're going to win whatever it was, prize money or anything like that. It was just literally, I'm excited because it's two amazing golfers going head to head and one's going to win and one's not going to win. So although I don't, again, think Liv has got any of that prestige yet, maybe never it will, I do genuinely believe, and maybe I'm doing a bit of a 180 myself, that this year, now there is John Rahm and you've got Koepka and a handful of other, Cam Smith, etc. If there is an event, whether it be JCB or another, where going down the last few holes, you've got those three or four guys going neck and neck, I might tune in. Mm. Even though I don't think it means much who wins necessarily in terms of, oh my God, he's got a live event and he's not, it still could be exciting. But yeah, who knows?
And I still, to some degree, and this isn't every week at all, and I'm probably being quite hypocritical here. Yesterday when I watched it, I literally tuned in for 4 hours and I could not take my eyes off it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the fact that everyone was playing in the correct order on the golf course.
Yeah.
That it was Tristan Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like, put a late charge in there to set the clubhouse lead 18 under. I loved that then that was set. And I love then that Rory and Tommy had two holes left to go, and they're both playing each other, and they're both playing the 17th and 18th hole in regulation order.
Yeah.
I love all that still. And I don't know if it's even the shotgun element that loses that little bit of, well, hold on a minute. Let me scratch my head. If Cam Smith's on the 17th, he's got to make eagle. That's a par four where Brooks Koepka's got to make birdie on the last, but that's a par three. Do you know what? I don't know if sometimes that even confuses it just a little bit more. I still don't think the format's right for some reason. And it's not pooing on live or whatever. I just hope that the right people get around the right table and go, right, come on, let's all work together again. Nothing wrong with, you know, pumping money into the game of golf, whatever it may be. Make all these golfers billionaires. Let's not talk about it so much about money. But let's create the actual best product for the fans.
I think though on that, and again we'll move on in a second to what content we've got coming up. But like next week, well this week should I say now, is the Hero Dubai Desert Classic, and it's obviously one of the Rolex events. It's loads of prize money. As a golfer, the kind of worrying thing is for golf, if you like, is that I will only be, and not just being just me. I'm sure you're the same. I'll really only tune into that probably on the Sunday, and if there's guys who I know and like who are doing well. If, no disrespect, some of those names I mentioned earlier are doing well and are up there, great for them and wish them all the best. It's not going to make me tune in. But if you've got, again, a sandwich of Rory and Tommy and whoever else, I'll probably want to tune in. So we still need to conquer that, don't we? Every event is a must-see, not just who's doing well. But speaking of Tommy, the next podcast we are doing is a Tommy Fleetwood special. It was recorded a few weeks ago before his win. And then on the Friday, it's the rematch. It's you, Rick Shields, versus Tommy Fleetwood. He starts level par. You get the luxury of starting 10 under par. Who wins? I have to wait and see.
It's epic. Mm. It's really, really, really good. I think you're going to love it. As mentioned a couple of times, Tommy is such an amazing person. The podcast episode, I'm actually excited because it was a few weeks ago. I'm excited to listen back to it.
Yep.
Because I honestly think the way Tommy comes across, he talks about being quite nervous in the podcast, weirdly, but you can never tell. He's so chilled out from the outset. We also did a few extra videos. We did a really good coaching video. Mm. We did a coaching video out of bunkers, and how good he was out of bunkers yesterday.
Insane.
You've got to watch that coaching video. That'll be coming out soon. We also did a very in-depth What's in the Bag, the clubs he's currently using, which is going to go on the Hit channel. Stay tuned for that. Podcast next week as well, and then the 10-shot challenge. It's going to be action packed, and I'm going to say it now, he's going to go back to back weeks. He's going to go and win at the Dubai Desert Classic.
I would love that.
Yeah, he's just, and what's mad is really, if you actually look at his time here, he the last event that was in Dubai, the Race to Dubai final at Jumeirah Golf Estate, which is the golf course I actually played Tommy at, the Earth course. It's an unbelievable golf course. It's really bloody hard. We play off the back tees. It's like 7,700 yards.
Excuses.
Bunkers bloody everywhere. But anyway, stay tuned. I get a 10-shot head start. And he could have won that back in December.
Yeah.
He obviously went and won the Dubai Invitational. I just want to see his game just go to a different level. And I really think he's got it in him.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think on top of that, though, that we've got some... We've had a bit of, like I said, jokes aside at the start of the podcast. There have been a few weeks of no podcast. There has been videos on the main channel. There is so much in the bank. The podcast is going to be back every single week from now on a Tuesday. If you're in the clubhouse, rest assured, they're coming thick and fast. And main channel videos, we've arguably got too much content. So it's going to be jam-packed. I'm excited for them, actually. I'm excited for a lot of the videos. Our big match, head-to-head. It feels like a lifetime ago now in Dubai. What was it called? The Clash in the Sun. That's rubbish. Think of a better version. What could it be called?
It was in the desert, really.
The destruction in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good match. It lived up to all the hype. We won't give any spoilers.
Yeah, it was very good.
But yeah, there's loads of videos coming. So I do apologise for those people who've been missing the podcast. But, you know, Rick's got to have a break. He's got to have his month in Dubai. He's got a cough off the back of it. It's all those sheeshes you've been smoking in your Bentley and your Bugattis.
That's funny. That is funny.
So one thing we've not discussed yet, obviously we alluded to it in the last podcast, which again feels like a lifetime ago, but the rumours at the time were Tiger Woods was potentially leaving Nike Golf. It's now confirmed officially, obviously, by Tiger and by Nike. They have parted ways. I've had a little bit of time, obviously. It's been a while to digest this. Yes.
I grieve.
At first, I was a bit gutted, and then I realised it was just a man's clothes that he was wearing, and I got over it quite quickly. But what it means for golf, though, and what it means for Nike and endorsements, it opens up a lot of questions. I think the simple answer is that, as a business, obviously Nike have to make money off their athletes, hence why they have athletes, and the athlete has to make money or products. So the simple example would be, if you're an aspiring bodybuilder and a protein company, say, want to sponsor you, and we won't pay you, but we'll give you loads of free protein, for example, that would be quite good, because you're thinking, well, yeah, it's worth a lot of money, I want to use those supplements, etc., etc. Somebody like Tiger Woods, obviously, he's not just going to be getting free clothes off Nike. He's getting a lot of money. It's about $20 million a year. And he's had a lot of these long-term contracts, like 5 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. So it's obviously come to a point where either they've said, yeah, we'll give you $20 million again, and he's gone, I want more. Or maybe they've gone down and said, we're going to offer you $10 million a year now. You're not playing as much. You're not maybe as relevant in some ways. I use that very lightly, in some ways, as he once was. And he decided, no, I'm going to either sign with somebody else, which I can't see happening.
That future,
or he is going to launch his own brand or have a very big stake. There's rumours about TaylorMade clothing, where you'll obviously have a huge stake in that. He does own the logo, the TW logo, so I'm sure we won't be seeing that go away. That'll stay, again, out and about and relevant. What does it mean? Does it mean anything more? Is there more to this? Is there more about Nike maybe looking to, in the future, not focus much on golf? They have signed some new athletes. Guido Mazzoli or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're not going immediately. But is it going to invest? He's going to cost, without being disrespectful, buttons compared to Tiger.
But I think, I mean, you could sign 100 of that type of tour pro.
Correct.
You could literally, you could sponsor everybody in the field at the Dubai Desert Classic.
Yeah.
But you've already got Tommy and Rory for the same amount of money you were paying Tiger, comfortably. It was interesting because obviously we'd heard a lot of rumours, and those rumours were true. It got announced a couple of weeks ago, last week. Nobody was shocked. I think where the real vicious rumour started to kick in, because obviously it came straight after Jason Day leaving Nike and signing with Malbon Golf, which is a real kind of cool, more streetwear kind
say
of cutting
it's cool,
edge.
But I didn't like what he's been wearing.
It's out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's different.
It is cool, but it's not what I'd perceive as cool, if that makes sense.
It must be cool. it's out there. It's just very different, isn't it? They've also signed Charlie Hull.
I saw that.
Jasper Parnovic.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
I think, to be honest, I think what Charlie Hull's been wearing in Melbourne looks really good. Mm-hmm. But she... I think that's where it probably really sparked the Nike completely coming out of golf was Jason Day leaving, Tiger was leaving, or parting ways, whatever it may be, and everyone's like, "Well, this is it," you know. But obviously, that I don't think that's going to be the case.
No.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash.
So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I don't think Nike will be leaving golf in the immediate future. But what I was thinking again, I've had, as you'll probably tell, I've had a long time to dwell on this, is that if you think of other sports that are big for Nike, and football is arguably one of the biggest, soccer for American listeners, when you pay those superstars, e.g. a Ronaldo or whoever, to wear your boots, you're doing it to, first of all, validate the brand and make people aware that Nike make great football boots.
Associated with the best players,
exactly,
greatest players.
But you're also doing it really to influence youngsters, really. Think about people that buy football boots. Yes, there'll be some people our age, you might play on a Sunday or five-a-side, but a lot of people are either in school, using them for PE, or playing for an under-8 team. So a lot of your customers will be younger people. What are you laughing at?
I just like how you picked under eights.
I don't know why I picked under eight. Yeah, under ten. Who will want the boots that their idol wears. Whether that be the exact boot is often not the case, but a takedown version, a cheaper version.
Well, when I was playing football, I was younger, and David Beckham was with Predator, Adidas Predator. I had to have those boots.
Absolutely.
Like if my parents said, no, it's going to be a different pair, I'm like, no, I need those pair. That's the pair I need. Like,
well, exactly. And think about how much, I mean, obviously your little boy's getting to the point soon where he'll be probably, if not got boots, but buying, he might go after his best player or whoever he, whatever they were. If you think about golf, you have got youngsters playing golf, obviously, but the people that are buying golf clothes and equipment are a lot older than those that are buying football boots or whatever it might be. So if you look up, Nike signed Tiger in 1996, and he's been there ever since. So one thing he has massively done is solidify their brand in golf. But what he's not done in some ways has helped necessarily shift product in every aspect, because yes, I'm sure they've sold a lot of red polos and people might want to be like Tiger and buy a black cap. They couldn't sell golf clubs very well, even though Tiger was using them. And it's like, really, if any of your friends that you go and play golf with outside of work, are they ever going to buy a pair of shoes because Tiger wears them? They're going to buy what they like and what are comfortable.
I feel like Nike, whether this has been because of the partnership, people buy Nike because they like Nike.
Yeah.
Now. Like, if they see a new Nike pair of golf shoes that come out, it's like, I want to buy them because I like Nike, the brand. I like, you know, I know they've done the cool in other areas. They're a cool shoe. I want to buy them.
Well, that's a massive thing, and that's a huge factor. So whether they're now looking to think, right, Nike's done his service. He's done his service. He's done a lot for our brand. Even if he goes and wears, which he won't do, an Adidas cap, all those maids he's won are wearing a swoosh. He's done his bit. Let him go and do what he wants and chase a bit more dough. Fine, no issue with that. The other thing, and it pains me to say this, but from Nike's investment and what they want to spend per year, does Tiger still move the needle like he used to? I don't mean generically, because he does generically, but in terms of younger people coming into the game, are they going to look at Tiger like we did? And the answer, I think, sadly, is no. Like, but plays very rarely. If you imagine if you're a 10-year-old kid now, you've got into golf because your dad plays or your mum plays, and they say, Tiger Woods is my favourite player. Why, mum? Why, dad? We did X, Y, and Z. It feels like you're showing them history, aren't you? Not going to say watch him this weekend necessarily and watch him win this event. Maybe that's going to be now we're looking at Koepka or Rory or Tommy or all these other people who are wearing the swoosh.
Well, that is quite interesting, because if you actually look at, again, Nike's athletes, you've got obviously Rory, mm-hmm. arguably the second biggest name in golf after Tiger.
Yeah.
Would that be fair to say?
100%. In this modern era.
What's also interesting is Nike didn't drop that many athletes that moved to live.
No.
For example, Brooks Koepka. Well, now, Brooks Koepka has just done a photo shoot this last week or so. What's his team now?
Smash.
And all of the other three guys have got Smash uniform on. He's not. He's got his Nike clothing on, his Nike hat, his swoosh on his shirt, his golf shoes are still Nike. Like, everyone else is wearing is Smash, so they're paying him a decent whack. Like, who was I thinking about just a second ago? Well,
they've got
well.
Scottie Scheffler. Yeah, who arguably is the best. Yeah, well, he is the best player in the world.
Tommy, who's just won.
They've got a lot. But then the other point I was going to lead on to, I think genuinely the reasons probably are just simply financial.
Yeah.
But you could, if you want to go down wormholes, you could look at that. I know that Brooks Koepka had this Nike golf shoe, the Smash logo on the side, that obviously Nike have had to produce. It's not a collab, but they've had to produce that shoe. Have Nike, they're asking the question now, I'm sure I'm wrong, but have Nike said, we want a piece of Liv? We want to stick with Brooks and invest in Liv? Is that where Tiger's gone? Not with me, you're not. And they've parted ways. I doubt it. I'm just saying, I don't know. Like, is there something deeper to it?
That is Liv's plan. Like, each team needs to have a headline sponsor. Like, it needs to be at some point. Like, Smash GC could easily change to Swoosh GC.
Well, yeah.
That's a good name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very good.
Swoosh GC.
And that might convert me. Who knows?
I think it's a very interesting time. And you know what, though? I know you've read the book and you bought it in very early days when I actually signed with Nike. I mean, arguably, this is the second biggest breakup of an athlete and Nike, really.
Well, you leaving was massive. Tiger's a little bit less.
Number three on trending on YouTube, and this was even trending. Nobody even talked about it. Wasn't there something about Phil Knight just not being able to have it that Tiger won his 19th major or whatever, not wearing a Nike Swoosh hat?
Yeah, I mean, I read the book years ago now, but I know that Phil Knight and Tiger had a great relationship. And if you look at the post that Tiger posted, it was him and his mum, who obviously is his favourite person in the world, apart from his children, and Phil Knight. And I know there's a really strong relationship there. I think where Nike have really probably messed up is, yes, there was a TW line, but they didn't really create that movement. If you look at like Jordan, I know it's a different kettle of fish with basketball and stuff, but the Jordan brand is such a brand on its own right, and it's just gone so mainstream outside of basketball. What was there something that could have been done with a TW line and could have had Tiger even more invested? I'm not sure, but we'll see. It's interesting.
I do think Jordan brand is like an anomaly. I just don't see how that could have been done in any other sport, really.
No, and nor do I. There's no way that people are going to be wearing golf shoes out on the street like you could wear a basketball shoe. Which,
and
now
I've never,
trainers,
ever played basketball properly. But I've got Jordan stuff. I've got Jordan shoes. I've got Jordan, like I've just bought little Jude a little Jordan t-shirt and stuff. So it's like, I feel like that was a brand that's gone way beyond anything else that ever could have anyone would have foreseen, apart from Michael Jordan, maybe himself. But yeah, very, very interesting. February, he's teeing it up at the Genesis, where all will be revealed. What's your actual prediction? What's he going to be wearing?
Oh, right. Okay. Brand wise, I think it's pretty straightforward. I think he'll either be wearing tailor-made apparel, and he will obviously have a massive percentage stake in that brand, so he'll be earning more than this $20 million a year, the dollars he was getting paid off Nike, or his own TW line that is maybe somebody else obviously actually manufactures, it just sells as a TW logo, and it might even look quite similar. He's still going to be wearing Sunday red, isn't he, and black trousers, I guess, with his FootJoy shoes. I think those are the two. I can't see anybody else. I don't know.
Well, the rumours, I'm not saying these are the things, but the rumours...
Is this the Grayson one?
So Grayson, who sponsor Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
There's rumours there.
I just can't see that, but...
There's rumours FootJoy.
Can't see that.
I can't see that one bit. I've written them down the other day. Where did I write them? And... it's on a chat. And then TaylorMade Clothing is probably the most likely.
I think the big thing is that, you know, I think sometimes when you follow a golfer or whatever and you become a fan of them, and you might purchase things because they have got them, or you might not, whatever, but you associate them with the brand, it being a real partnership, and it is, but it's all due to money, let's be honest. Like, I'm sure Tiger liked the Nike products, but he was wearing them and using them because he was getting paid a hell of a lot of money. He's only dropped them because he's not getting the money that he now wants. I'm sure that's as simple as that. You'd like to think that Nike would have wanted to keep Tiger, surely. So he has to be making, surely, in excess of $20 million a year.
It'd have to be 5x that.
You'd think so. So,
like, if he's going to leave, let's say Nike, listen, Tiger, we're not going to do 20 million, we're going to do 15. And somebody offered him 20. He's not grumbling over 5 million, is he?
Exactly. So,
someone's come in and said, I reckon like say a clothing brand, whether it's TaylorMade or someone else, saying we're going to give you this much share, and we can almost guarantee you're going to make 100 million over the next 10 years, like every year for the next 10 years, maybe even longer.
Well, and the last thing on this before we move on to something else is that, yeah, he's getting paid a nice amount off Nike every year, but there's going to be a point, and it's going to be soon-ish, let's be honest, where his career does come to an end and his playing career comes to an end. If he has a big stake or his own company that goes on to do well and can even get a small percentile of the success that Jordan ever got on his Tiger's own brand, I'm just going to say that's set up for life. He's already set up for life, but that would be the game changer from like a business standpoint.
That would set up his 10th generational grandchild for life.
Think about simple maths.
Currently, he's only doing the 8th generational grandchild.
Well, if you buy a TW hat now, and in theory, a penny of that, if that goes towards Tiger's 20 million a year, if you buy a TW hat and it's his own brand, then he gets X amount of that, which is going to be a lot more. It makes sense, doesn't it? So as long as he can shift product, which I'm sure he can.
Totally get the decision. It's just, it'll be interesting to see in Feb.
The other rumour I heard that you didn't mention, which is a bit of a coincidence, maybe it's just a coincidence, maybe there's more to it, I don't know, you tell me, was that you release your own merch and then he stops wearing Nike. Like, come on.
I mean, I'm glad you brought it up, Guy, because there is some breaking news. Tiger Woods, I can't believe I'm saying this, will not be wearing RS merch, I'm afraid. But if you do want to get some RS merch, check it out. rickshields.com/shop.
I believe some of the certain products have been selling out thick and fast, and some of them actually nearly sold out, you said to me this morning.
Like, literally, it is getting so close to almost full sellout on the whole website.
Wow.
So, like, get it. Genuinely, I reckon it won't last for the next week or so before everything on the website is sold out. And then you'll have to wait for stock to be replenished, which might not be that quick, to be honest.
Well, I saw quite a lot while you were away. I think you were showing a few on your stories. Quite a lot of people out on the golf course with the head covers.
Awesome.
Certainly some of the clubhouse head covers, which was great to see. I've got the clubhouse head cover.
It's very, very nice.
More part of the clubhouse.
Guy, you are the clubhouse. I'm not sure how you can get much closer to being the clubhouse, but for our beloved listeners, if you do want to get involved, there are still some more of the clubhouse head covers left. Check it out, rickshields.com/shop. You do not want to miss out on, honestly, genuinely the last bits of stock before we have to shut the shop for a period of time before we replenish.
Do you want a few questions?
I would love some.
So we've had some questions asked on Twitter, and we've also had, as always, some in the Facebook group. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, join it. It's free.
Totally free.
Because all your stuff's free, apart from your merch. That's definitely not free.
No, that's the only thing you have.
Everything's
to
free, apart from the merch. Giles Littlewood has said, and put it in this tone, by the way.
Just by the way, sorry, quick one. If you are to buy more merch, then who knows? Maybe we could convince Tiger Woods to come.
So we need to pay him $21 million a year.
Okay, so good luck, everyone.
Buy a head cover for help. Giles Littlewood has said, where is the Ping driver review and why is it late like last year's was? Do you guys have something against Ping?
Yes.
There you go.
I've used the driver for 3 years. I absolutely hate
As
the brand.
I, yeah.
The simple answer, and it's a decision we take on the amount of uploads that take place at the start of the year. So if we would, I'm sure people who are hardcore listeners will know this. At the start of the year, brands will release the embargo on a product. And typically you'll open your YouTube feed that day and every Tom, Dick and Harry has got a...
Did Dick upload this? I watched Tom and Harry. Is that Miss Dicks? Oh my gosh, that's you. The big dick. Why do you keep coughing all the time?
It's like when I'm laughing. It's like a laugh cough. You'll see on YouTube feed that everyone has released then their driver review. And this year's, I think similar to even last time, the Ping's driver release clashed with the Cobra driver release.
I think it was actually TaylorMade.
TaylorMade. Yeah. Silly on them. So the Ping embargo released at the same day as the TaylorMade embargo. And we didn't think it was fair for either brand to release both videos on the same day and even the day after. So we've had that bit of breathing space. All the videos have been released or filmed already, being edited as we speak, as of like the actual Ping videos out today, the 16th of Jan. But yeah, the TaylorMade and Ping were just too close, so we decided to separate it because we can.
Well, just on that, and that's glad you said because we can. It's a very good point. We can. Like, that's the thing, that we have a very loose relationship with these brands. We've explained it many times before, but one more time. They send us information about the product. We sign something to say, yeah, send us this information. We will not leak it. And if we do, we're responsible. Take us to court, etc. They then often will send us the physical product or fit you for a product. We then test it in our own unbiased way. And on that date that the contract we've signed says, we can release the video. Doesn't mean we have to release the video.
It doesn't say you have to release
correct
the video at
if
that
you
time
were, and this isn't a dig, but some of the TaylorMade ambassadors like Grant Horvath and Micah Morris, etc., have done TaylorMade's product because they're sponsored, they're openly sponsored athletes. They will have to, in their contract, release videos at set times. That's just part of it. We don't. So if we release the Ping video a week later or 2 weeks later or not even review it at all, that's up to us. There's certain things like a TaylorMade drive where you know there's a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz. So we'd be quite naive not to hit that embargo time because you want that most engagement on our video, let's be honest. But we release them when we want.
And also, you'll see, like, golf magazines will release every product on embargo day.
Exactly.
But again, there's a bit of control there from the brands because they pay for advertisement space in the magazine, so the kind of magazines have to hit certain embargoes. We don't have to do that. So it's been reviewed, it will be coming out. Well, it is coming out today, so yep, enjoy it, sit back, relax. Ping G4, the brand new Ping the brand new for 2024 Ping G430 Max 10K driver.
So you could watch your review where you say if it's good, bad or indifferent, or you could know that I use it. Now, do you think I would sell drivers that people go, well, that's the driver that Guy Charnett uses. Must be good.
Have those videos been released yet? Have you used it?
No, but I do use it. And I'm telling people now. And maybe that'll sell drivers. Maybe I can have the new Tiger Woods. Maybe I can get 20 quid a year off Nike. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Free gear and 20 quid a year.
Done.
I'm sold. Martin Brown has asked for it. This is a comment that got quite a few likes. And I've seen this around the internet in the corners of the web. Are you playing the good live event in February? And if so, who with?
Unfortunately, I'm not. I know, I'm not. And the reason being, we've got a trip in the end of January that is, we're actually in America till kind of almost the start of February, but then need to be back. It's a long trip. We're filming a lot of content to then try and add on another trip only 4 or 5 days later for across the country in Arizona to try and be over there for an extra 3 or 4 days. It's just logistically not possible. I wish I could. I wish I'd known a bit more about it. I wish I'd had a bit more of a heads up, maybe even from the guys at Good to say, listen, this is on the radar, you know, save the date, so to speak, because I would have definitely played in it. I'd have loved to have played in it. Who my partner would have been, who knows? Maybe Mr. Charnock, maybe someone else, but it, unfortunately, this time I cannot do it. Good luck to the lads. I think it's going to be an amazing event, live streamed on YouTube. Check it out. Is it 8th of Feb?
I believe it is. It's in, yeah, around that time.
8th of Feb. Everybody watching this video, be sure to tune into the live feed of Good two-man scramble. I think it's going to be epic. But fortunately, this time round, I cannot make playing it.
And also, the thing is, if I had played with you, we probably would have won it and got the money and the trophy. It's just too predictable. Like, there's no point watching something if you know it's going to happen.
Exactly.
So what would be the point?
But yeah, that's all it is. There's no spite. There's no, oh, good of doing this first and all this jazz. Nothing like that. It's just logistically, I think I get back on the whether it's the 1st or 2nd of Feb, I'd have already been away for 10 days to then be away for another week and a week and a bit.
Oh, putting your kids first.
Being away for another week and a bit, straight after that, just logistically wouldn't have worked.
I think as well, like what people, I'm sure they do realise, but you have got a young family and stuff, so it's a lot to juggle, to balance.
If I was young lads like good, with not a care in the world.
You'd be there.
With wonderful hair and great abs,
big massive muscles,
and hits it dead far. Well, yeah, well, it's dead easy then, isn't it? But yeah. I'm not.
I'm
an old man with 3 kids who needs to be back.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, if there's another one, I'd love to be involved.
We can't go now. Turn the first one down.
Oh, and if we're still, I know it didn't happen last year, and I'm sorry for that, but we are still looking at trying to create a live event with all YouTube golfers as well. So stay tuned for that.
Is that enough meat? Because I'm sure Nate Edwardson will do a video on this bit now. So I'm giving him some more to cling on to. Well, come on, Nate. You've got to make a video out of this. So
it's hard. Like I've said it before, it's hard to try and do a live stream event. There's some of the live stream stuff that Good Grub have been releasing this last few weeks has been very impressive.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Very impressive. I'd love to know how they're doing that. I've chat to the guys to do that, but even what they're doing right now,
is it just one group, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's amazing. We need quality, that 10x or 18x.
That's what I mean. We're trying to do that on an 18 hole golf course. Like, I'd love to see how they're live streaming the two-man scramble on the 8th of Feb, because that's a mammoth effort. It really is. One that at the moment I just don't know where to start, so unfortunately it's not going to happen straight away, but if we can figure out an answer, yeah, then we'll get it done.
You know what, on that, again, heads up if people haven't been aware, but Good have done a few live videos already, and the quality it's unbelievable. But I've not really looked into it too much, but I wonder what the actual demand is for live content like that. Like, I know they're obviously dipping the toe in the water and trying something. It's really cool to see other people trying experimental things. I think it's exciting that people are doing that. But, like, I actually wonder, and I'm sure people are watching out of intrigue, but if that is a future in golf YouTube, or is it not? Like, I don't really know the answer.
And this is not for one second sounding. It's not. I'm trying to word this correctly. I've done live golf content before. Like, I've live streamed many times before back in the past. Granted, not to the same quality, but the views were always much lower. Mm. Like, the views were nowhere near as high, because people just couldn't tune in at that time. And do you then tune into a live video afterwards? No.
Yeah,
not really.
I think the reason I asked that question, I almost don't feel qualified to comment, because I know that live streaming is a massive thing now in some industries. Like, if you look at iShow Speed or whatever, and they're getting millions of followers, and it's something that I don't literally physically subscribe to. I don't watch it. I have no interest in it, but obviously a lot of people do. We know that Good's audience is a little bit younger than ours. Typically, there's some crossover, of course, but whether the younger audience are more into live, who knows? But it's exciting to see which way it goes.
I think the one they did even just this weekend was like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
So it's like, are people watching for that amount of time? Are they just dipping in, dipping out? Are they double screening? Double screening is a big thing now.
I love a double screen. Have you ever triple screened? I bet you have. A quad?
Please.
Let me think how you could quad screen. TV,
yeah.
You've got the golf on.
Yeah.
Laptop, pretending you're working. We're just having to kind of look at emails, just flicking through. Phone.
And an iPad.
iPad, yeah. What's on the iPad?
Live fishing.
No, I think the iPad is a YouTube video of like how to stop procrastinating, how to stop trying to do too much at once. And you're watching that kind of heart in while you're also on TikTok and you're reading emails, watching the telly.
The iPad saying how to live stream a 18 hole golf event.
Why does nobody watch my live streams? Yeah. Anyway, who knows? I've got two more questions from Facebook. These will be a bit quicker, I guess. Paul Robson, you've kind of answered this already, Rick, but will Rick be putting a new driver in the bag this year or staying with the Ping G425?
Got a controversial shout here, guy. I've been thinking this.
No driver, just 3-wood.
No, not at all. I've been thinking about this for quite a bit, actually.
Well,
I reckon for the last couple of years, I started the year by saying, I'm going to do everything I can to change nothing in my bag.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
I've been on record to say that.
Yeah.
That all goes out the window.
New sticks.
I want new everything.
Nice.
Old bluey, gone. Even roll, putter, gone.
Yep.
Wedges, I don't even know what wedges
I've got now.
TaylorMade wedges, gone. Titleist irons, gone. Pink driver, gone.
Wow.
A Pro V1.
Oh, don't do that. Oh, that's too far now. You'd be working with like a Mizuno ball next.
This is a future I could see.
Go on, talk to me.
Just
tease me.
A little insight to the future. This is where my head's going at the moment. Cobra driver. Ping or TaylorMade 3-wood.
Yeah.
/ 4-wood. Okay.
Doesn't offend me.
I really, really, really want a walk down memory lane with my irons.
Are you keeping that Titleist 3 iron, by the way? I think that's one you should keep.
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, get rid of it. Burn it.
Where I'm my heart's looking a little bit at the moment.
Yeah.
And they've been through a rebrand, and I think they'll even look better.
I know what you're going to say, yeah.
I fancy going back to Wilson Irons. Wedges, no idea.
Vokey SM10s, baby.
I think SM10s. And then a Scotty Cameron Pour. I've actually got a Scotty Cameron Pour on order.
Yeah, another one.
And then last thing.
Yeah, go on.
Bridgestone golf ball.
Wow.
That's just where my head's flying at the moment.
Wow.
So
Bridgestone golf ball, great ball, but just, yeah, okay. I hear, yeah, do what you need to do.
It's going
to
be different.
All in a vessel bag.
All in a vessel bag.
Nice. Last question from Facebook and a little quick couple of Twitters before we lock this thing up. From Paul Crooks, what was the highlight of filming with Bryson?
The highlight, guys, was just him. Like, he is such an interesting but also quite complex character. Mm. He is full on, determined, passionate, energetic, a ridiculous athlete. Like, he is up close. How he hits his driver so far and so straight.
Sorry, he's on about Bryson. You're talking about me here, aren't you? I think you've heard the question wrong.
Sounds like I've been on 40 a day. How long he hits it and how straight he hits it is ridiculous. Yeah,
fair dues.
He's a very complex character, which I think...
Everyone, I think that's...
But I think sometimes the perception of him being complex and actually spending time with him, he's a very in-depth character. I think whatever he would have done in life, he would have left no stone unturned.
I like that. A few super quick Twitter or X, as it's now obviously called, questions. Do you ever call it X?
No, it's not weird, even once.
It? No.
It's Twitter, isn't it?
It's Twitter, isn't it? Yeah. It's Twitter, isn't it? Twitter, pull on your grave. Mark Stiles has said, if you play a par 69 golf course, would it only really count as breaking 100 if you shoot a 96? So that's the way it's 27 over par, like it would be on a par 72.
Oh, I thought you meant like 6,900 yards.
No, so we're saying that normally, obviously, most golf courses are par 72. So to break 100, you have to shoot 27 over par. If you shoot, you know, if it's a par 69, you've got a lot more shots to play with. Does it really count?
I think it does. I think you can just about get away with a par 69 and still break any target you want to break.
Yeah. But I agree. But when you see somebody like on the 59 watch on the PGA Tour.
It's always on a par 70. That.
Yeah, it doesn't feel the same. If it's on a 72, it's like, wow.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, it's interesting. From Paul has said, would you ever consider joining Team TaylorMade after the Foreplay guys got a video with Tiger Woods?
It was a very good video, that.
So for those of you, explain it for people who haven't seen it. Foreplay are a huge podcast, Barstool Sports, got obviously golf videos as well. They did a video with Eldrick.
Yeah, they're sponsored by TaylorMade. I think, you know what though? I don't think it's a guarantee. I think there's a lot of, so for argument's sake, me and my golf, friends of ours, Andy and Piers, they've been signed with TaylorMade since they were born, right?
They came out the womb and got a burner straight in.
There you go. They've never had time with Tiger Woods.
Don't believe so. Not a video like that anyway.
Grant and Micah, who also signed with TaylorMade, they've not had time with Tiger Woods. There's been a lot of times where you'd think that these sponsored people would definitely get time for Tiger Woods. From looking at the conversation that happened after that video with Tiger and the lads, it very much seems like Joe LaCava is a huge Foreplay fan.
Mm.
And there's kind of conversations there. And I think Joe's kind of gone to Tiger. No, these lads are good. You know, it's almost like,
yeah,
shoot a video with those lads.
I think from what I read into it, I think they've met him a number of times and he knows a lot of them off the first name basis, which is really cool. I'm sure they obviously love that. So there's that. Then you said there's the Joe LaCava thing. But also what was really funny about it was he obviously knows them. You can tell he felt comfortable around them. He was giving them handshakes and dapping them all up, etc., which again was cool for them. But even with all that said and done, at a TaylorMade shoot, it still was on quite a tight schedule.
They had 15 minutes with it.
And you could tell, I mean, don't be wrong, the video was phenomenal. It was so good. They really utilised the time well. Fair play to those guys, and they're reaping the rewards on views for it.
Fair play to those guys.
Yeah, well, nice. But you could tell, and although Tiger did want to chat to them a little bit and gave them a little bit more time than he probably had to, even then it was still kind of quite military.
But you know what? It showed me a little bit. Tiger knows YouTube, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Do you see what he did?
Yeah.
It's to Riggs. because Riggs was going to go first. He went, no. Yeah. You go last. I've got a little surprise for you.
Yeah.
Because he knew about retention.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the case.
He knew exactly what he was doing when he said to Riggs, go last. And then to get on there, and because if you notice the conversation at the start, is like he went back to his buggy and he was asking for a golf ball.
One ball.
And then when he came back, he kind of just always had this idea that he's going to put a little surprise in there for Riggs, and then steps up there, hits one off the knees, goes viral everywhere.
Done. Can you make me a promise?
That I'll be here next week.
I want every single week this year, as much as possible. It's 52 weeks in a year. We've already missed a few. So let's go. How many weeks have we missed? Three? Two? Two weeks. Two, yeah.
Well, technically, no. Because the first week was like the 1st of Jan.
Yeah, but it's the 15th, it's the 16th today when this is going out. So we should have gone. Yeah, but if we do it half weeks, we should have done 2nd, we should have done 9th, we didn't. This is now 16. So there's 50 weeks if we include this one left in the year.
I don't know if I'm going to last 50 weeks this year.
Vapes. So there's 50 weeks. We have to do 45
just
podcasts.
By the way, I don't vape or sheesh or smoke. So, no, it's just a terrible cough that I got on the plane. I'm probably COVID or something.
Yeah, just something like that. we need to do 45 podcasts at least.
Yeah.
We can have 5 weeks of you going off.
And we can do a little Friday specials.
Yeah, we'll build it up. If you want
next week, do not miss the Tommy Fleetwood podcast. It is one of the best podcasts we've ever done. We've had Tommy on the channel before, yes, and on the podcast, yes. But this podcast is one of the best ever. We shall see you next Monday. Be sure to like...
Tuesday.
Do us a favour as well. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, all right? Hit that subscribe button on the podcast YouTube channel. Let's get cracking with those subscribers. What are we up to? Like 200 and something odd?
200 billion.
We're on 200 billion subscribers and we want 300 billion subscribers,
we
please.
We've got 247, so 250 would be lovely.
250 by next week, please. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for your support, as always.
Sorry, cut you off. I've got an idea. Hear me out. If you subscribe, even if you already are subscribed or you're a new subscriber to the YouTube, the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast YouTube channel, screenshot your subscription. Yeah, you're with me. So go on, subscribe. Yeah,
go on, what's after that?
Screenshot it. Send it to you on Twitter.
On 07...
on Twitter, on the Facebook group, on the anywhere you can access Rick, send it. We will pick a winner, and they will win a Clubhouse merch putter head cover. Now, those
limited
are in absolute
right now.
Demand. There's not many left. We'll put one to one side. You can win it.
Nice. Guys, get involved. Do not miss out. We shall see you next week. And Happy New Year, everyone. And that's officially the last time that anybody is allowed to say it this year. Peace.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.